Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is worship for Easter Sunday for March 31st of 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Easter Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the 15th chapter of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. (Clears throat) Many of us, I think most of us, most of you that I'm talking to here, you have lost someone that you loved, whether it's a husband or a wife or children or parents or someone that you are very close to. We've all lost people that we have loved who have died. Some of us have lost people very recently. But regardless of whether it was recently or in years past, that loss is still very keenly felt. And part of thinking about those people is perhaps thinking about whether you will ever speak to them again. Maybe this is a strange way to start an Easter sermon. Usually on Easter, this is supposed to be a happy day. We talk about, Easter eggs and jelly beans and Easter bunnies and chocolate candy and so forth. The supposed to be the opposite of death and sadness. I guess that's what today is supposed to be. But I think that version of Easter is maybe not so great, because that image of Easter of, you know, everything is green and we have fresh flowers and everything is very nice, seems to me that version of Easter is sort of running away from the real problem. Like Christmas, like many of our other big holidays, we turn it into an excuse to escape from daily life, and the daily life that includes remembering our dead loved ones. So Easter then becomes kind of a cover, a thing that helps us not think about what we would think about on most ordinary days. But that's not what Easter is supposed to be. It's not a day to run away from death and sadness, but it is a day to take on death and sadness, to look at these things directly. And having seen them directly and remembering the people we loved who have passed away, then to still find joy in that. To find joy not because we avoid death, but finding joy in death. And how can that be? That seems impossible. But that's what we're doing today. As Christians, we are supposed to believe, we know what we're supposed to believe. We've been told that all those who die with faith in Christ will rise again on the last day. And that we ourselves, when we die, that won't be the end of us, so long as we have faith in Jesus. But in certain moments, I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here. I think in certain moments, it can be difficult to believe that. We know what we are supposed to believe, and yet maybe when push comes to shove, it's hard to feel that way. Death is still frightening for us, and we still might wonder, will we ever talk to our loved ones again? Will we ever see them again? Or is this now, is the last goodbye the final goodbye, as it were? We know better, and yet we still sometimes perhaps doubt what we should know. I think maybe because of that, I like this account of Easter morning from Mark. Of the four Gospels, perhaps this one is, I wouldn't say it's the best, but it is maybe the most human. It's the one that perhaps reflects how we really feel about death and this Easter business. Because what happens here? The women come to finish the preparations for Jesus's burial. On Friday night, they had to bury him in haste because the next day was a Sabbath, and they had to be done with their work by sunset of Friday. And so now they're coming back after the Sabbath when they couldn't do the work, and they're coming back on Sunday morning to finish the preparations for his burial, to prepare his body for the way it's supposed to be for ultimate burial. And then this will be the end. They have this one little job left to do, and this will be the last time they see Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus had told them on numerous occasions what was going to happen to him. He told them, all the people that followed him, he told them the same thing. He said, I'm going down to Jerusalem, where I'm going to be betrayed and handed over to the priests, and then handed over to the Romans, and they're going to kill me, but after 3 days I will rise from the dead. So he told them exactly what was going to happen. They had his word. And yet, on that Easter morning, that's not what they are expecting. Because when they get to the tomb and they see that it's empty, which is exactly what he said was going to happen, they are shocked. And when this young man dressed in a white robe, who we know is an angel, when he tells them that he has risen and that he's not there, they do not take that as good news. But they see the empty tomb as terrifying. They hear the words of the angel and they are not overjoyed, but in fact, they are frightened. And it seems to me that that is a very human reaction. Imagine going to visit the grave of someone that you love and going there and finding an empty hole in the ground. And then some angel comes to you and says, well, the person you loved isn't here anymore. Would you take that as good news? I don't know that we would. Even knowing what we know, even knowing the Word of God, which tells us that the resurrection will happen for those who have faith in Christ. I think this is what happens to the women. They know what Jesus said, but when push comes to shove, when they are really experiencing these things, they don't really remember that word. They know the word, but they're not expecting it to be true. What they expect to be true is their own experience and their own reason. What do they know by reason? That once a person dies, he cannot live again. So too, we know the word of God. We know it says that we will live, and yet our reason tells us that this cannot be. And when we think about the loved ones that we are missing, our reason also tells us that it cannot be that we will see them again. But that's what Easter is about. Those women came to the tomb of Jesus and they found that it was empty. They did not expect it to be empty. The word told them that it would be empty, but they still didn't think it would be. And yet there it was. The tomb was empty. Jesus lived. I think that's basically the message of Easter. The tomb is empty, but the empty tomb of Jesus tells us that what we expect and what our reason tells us is not true. The way that we feel about it, what we are expecting, what we fear, what we're afraid that the last time we saw these people we loved was the last time. The empty tomb tells us, no, this is not the case. Jesus lives, and if he lives, then so will they, and so will you. You are Christians. You know that Jesus said that you will rise again, and you know that he said that all those who died in him will rise again too. Sometimes our thoughts and our doubts would have us think otherwise, but the empty tomb is the proof that that's not the case. Jesus lives. The word of God is true, and our reason is not. When you're having doubts, when you're thinking about these things, remember again that Jesus lives. Remember that his tomb is empty. And remember that even if you don't feel it, even if reason says otherwise, remember his promises. Remember that his word is true. And remember that you will rise with him, along with the people you love. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, you kept your promise and delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven, and by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies nor give in to the temptation of despair in our days of trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt in our hearts, and grant us courage to confess this truth in our life and conversations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Have mercy on the sick and those in any need. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in Jesus. Hear our prayers today for Marie, for Joe, Cecil, Nick, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Ron, Karen, Mike, Margaret, John, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Jean, Vonnie, and also for Shirley Rothman, Jerry Yates, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Daladonis, Courtney Cooker, Terry Sheldon, Elizabeth, Tim Bradford, Neil Montgomery, and Phyllis Vanover. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.